The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's a great day, America. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm going to talk to you about the stunning implications of the Virginia election. I'm going to explore how Glenn Youngkin pulled it off, this magnificent upset. And this is not just about Virginia. We're going to explore the national implications, the implications for 2022, for Trump and the MAGA agenda, for critical race theory, even for the infrastructure bill. Debbie and I are going to talk about this some, and then Newsmax, a White House correspondent, Emeril Robinson, will join me. We're going to talk about Project Lincoln, National Review, and the remaking of the Republican right. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
What an absolutely huge win this was for us yesterday. Not just the election in Virginia, which was huge in itself, but the tightness of the race in New Jersey? Wow. And then there are other important referendums and races around the country, all pointing in the same direction. But let's start with Virginia, a blue state, hasn't gone Republican since 2009, and a strong Terry McAuliffe, backed by the full power of the Democratic establishment, Obama, Biden, Kamala Harris, Stacey Abrams, everybody kind of going to the wheel for this guy. And it seemed to be tied to the very end. But wow, look at the way that Youngkin has pulled this off. And he's pulled it off by winning the Trump base, but he also pulled it off by winning over suburban voters. He won some Biden voters. And even in places that are deep red, the southern part of Virginia, Lee County, way down south, which went heavily for Trump, but went even more heavily for Youngkin. So this is great news. Going forward, it shows us, in a sense, the formula for beating the Democrats. And it shows us also that, well, it's just such a huge relief, I think is the right word. I woke up this morning, I was looking in the mirror, I'm like, I look a year younger. But it wasn't just jubilation over the outcome. It was really also just the sense that we've been suffering a little bit of PTSD, you know, our side, going back to the 2020 election. And it wasn't just the election. It was the fact that you couldn't talk about the election. It was the fact that the censorship that kind of prevented our side from communicating with each other. And then the sort of radicalism of the Biden agenda, the open border, the almost deliberate botching of Afghanistan. And then the crazy behavior by these Biden people. I mean, they're acting like they have some massive FDR majorities. They have majorities in both houses of Congress. Let's pass this $1.5 trillion bill and a $3.5 trillion bill on top. Let's get the Green New Deal. And so, in a sense, the question in the back of my mind, Debbie's mind too, is we're just thinking, you know, are the American people okay with all this? Because dismayingly, if the American people are okay with all this, then our enemy isn't the left. It isn't the Democrats. It's the American people. The American people are ratifying this radical change, this repudiation of traditional America, this assault on our values, this transformation of our country, the realization of the Obama agenda. The American people are doing it. But whew, no. The American people, and in this case, what a great test case, a blue state, moderate, but moderate leaning blue. Basically gives a giant up yours to the Biden administration. So this is fantastic news. And of course, MSNBC was in kind of full meltdown mode. Here's Nicole Wallace trying to get her sort of little pea brain around the result. And it's delightful to watch.
I think that the real ominous thing is that critical race theory which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points to the Trump insurrection endorsed Republican.
So basically, yes, this is a, you know, this is a Trump clone, an insurrectionist apologist. And this is what they're doing. This shows that these people have no capacity to digest bad news, no capacity to adapt to it, no capacity to look at the world realistically. And it isn't just Nicole Wallace, of course. Here's Obama right before the election. We don't have time to be wasting on this phony, trumped-up culture wars. Obama's really out of time. He's so busy. He has no time to talk about things like critical race theory, transgender. To him, it's all a big waste of time. We've got real problems to solve here. Obama's rolling up his sleeves to solve them. Well, I think the people of Virginia decided to send him a big message. Now, let's look around the country. In New Jersey, so far, it's a tie. Chiattarelli, 51.4. Murphy, 47.8. About at 1.1 million votes apiece. I think this could go either way. I mean, there are some apparently blue votes that are not counted. But even if Murphy pulls it off, I mean, New Jersey is to the left of Virginia. This is a blue state. And the question for the Democrats is, if they're dying in a blue state, what does that tell you? What are the implications of that? Let's look at Texas. In San Antonio, where Biden won by 14 points, 73% Hispanic. Republican John Lujan was just elected to the Texas House of Representatives. He won an open seat that has been a longtime seat held by Democrats, as I say, in a Biden district in Minneapolis. There was a referendum on whether or not to replace the police force. This is kind of the Ilhan Omar, get rid of the police, replace the police with a Department of Public Safety. Remember this, all the talk on the left about reimagining the police system? Well, Minneapolis voters soundly rejected that proposal. They'd rather have, if something goes wrong in their house, we'd rather have the police show up than some, you know, social worker. May I interview the person who did this? May I try to figure out what their social problems are? So we're seeing here, not just in Virginia, but across the country, a repudiation. Let's call it a great reset. It's almost like the country is taking note. The tide has turned. It's ratifying for us. It shows us that our instinct that all of this is crazy, the Biden people are out of line, is now being seconded by the American people. The malaise of the first part of 2021 is beginning to dissipate. Those of us who began to fear that we're really losing our country, and the American people, if they're not okay with it, seem indifferent to it. The American people have basically said, don't count us out yet. Guys, the secret to the success of MyPillow is you. You have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. And Mike has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You'll get the standard MyPillow regularly $69.98, now only $19.98. Wow. These wonderful pillows, by the way, they won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as often as you want. They maintain their shape. They're made in the USA. MyPillow pillows come with a 10-year warranty, so you know they're going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep that we not only want, but need. By the way, if you go to the MyPillow website, you'll get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products, the MyPillow towels, the mattress toppers, the robes, the MySlippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Dinesh to receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 1-800-876-0227. That's 1-800-876-0227. Or go to MyPillow.com. Be sure to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. There are several people I want to personally thank for making the results in the Virginia election possible. First, Joe Biden. Second, Kamala Harris. Third, Merrick Garland. Fourth, Alex Mayorkas. Guys, this would not have been possible without you. I think what happened is that you guys went berserk. You decided, hey, it's going to be kind of fun to torment our political opponents. Hey, why not leave the border open? Let's just sort of thumb our nose at the American citizens. Let's have COVID tests for American citizens, but not for illegals. In fact, why don't we start giving the illegals some money? Does $450,000 sound like a good number? And then, you know what? We got these Americans and Afghan allies hanging out of planes, falling out of planes, Saigon style, with a botched evacuation. Oh, Americans aren't going to care about that. So what's great is that you guys have acted in a manner that has caused the American people to just be disgusted, to hate you. And what's wonderful is elections are a time to express those feelings. Now, the Democrats from the beginning were really aware of the significance of this Virginia gubernatorial election. They knew it was not just about Virginia. Here's Kamala Harris, by the way, admitting that very explicitly right before the election itself. Listen.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
And for once, I agree with Kamala Harris. Now, the Debbie and Daniel, you're chuckling in the background. Now, look, this is as devastating a loss for the Democrats as the Georgia election loss was for us. I'm talking now about the two Georgia Senate seats that we lost in early 2021. And while it's tempting to compare the two and go, well, you know, we lost two, they lost one. By the way, they didn't just lose one. They lost the Virginia House of Delegates. So they've lost all the way down the ticket. They lost the lieutenant governorship. So this is a sweep across Virginia for the Republicans. Great stuff. But even the Georgia analogy, although tempting at first glance, is flawed. And it's flawed because in Georgia, that was a kind of anomalous circumstance. It was a circumstance in which the Trumpsters, the MAGA types, the people who thought that the 2020 election had somehow gone wrong, these are the people who were turned against the Georgia Republican establishment. So there was an internecine battle within the GOP in Georgia. And it's quite possible, in fact, I think likely, that some Georgians were like, well, you know, I'm so angry about this. I'm just not going to vote. I'm going to stay home. And so the Georgia outcome could be explained by this bizarre situation, but not here. As I mentioned, in Virginia, the Democrats were united. They went all in, all of them, the progressive left, the moderate, everyone was kind of pushing for McAuliffe, and it still didn't work. Now, let me turn for a moment to Youngkin, because there's sort of a debate about how Youngkin did it. One message, of course, is that Youngkin did it by embracing Trump. Youngkin, and it's true, never repudiated Trump, never repudiated the Trump agenda or Trumpism. And when people kept saying, as they did again and again, that, you know, this guy's a clone of Trump. This is a referendum on Trump. Basically, Youngkin would just smile and move on. On the other side, and this is also worth noting, Youngkin did not full-throatedly embrace Trump. Trump didn't, in fact, show up in Virginia. I think that actually showed some wise restraint on Trump's part. And why? Because on the one hand, we need Trump to activate the MAGA base, to get the Virginia hardcore conservatives to come out in big numbers, to be excited about this guy Youngkin. And they were. So Trump deserves a lot of credit for that. At the same time, Youngkin was going after suburban voters and Biden voters who were not particularly excited about Trump, but who liked the idea of Youngkin, basically a conservative guy, a nice guy, a guy with a sweater, a guy with a smile, a guy who basically said, look, I will try to bring Virginia together. I will try to bring parental involvement in education. So Youngkin basically pulled this off. You could call it Trump plus. He pulled it off Trump plus. And that's a lesson for us going forward. It shows us that we can win on the Trump platform, on the Trump agenda, but style matters as well. I think in the end, the reason we won in Virginia is because the American people essentially had enough. This was a sort of let's stop the insanity election. America is almost unrecognizable from what it was just a year ago. I mentioned Afghanistan. I mentioned the border, CRT. I mean, racial indoctrination, transgender bathrooms, biological boys running in girls' races, across the board censorship. I mean, I think the American people were basically saying enough is enough. Parents in Virginia were disgusted. I mean, and McAuliffe played into this. He's basically like, you know what? Parents really don't belong. They don't have a voice in education. That's up to the teachers. Basically, in public schools, you turn your kids over to the state. And then this idiot, right before the election, the last day, he comes out and goes, well, you know, I think we need to reduce the number of white teachers. He thought this was really a brilliant thing to say on the eve of the election. We need to reduce the number of white teachers because, after all, if you're a black or brown kid in the classroom, you don't really want to see a white teacher teaching you math or teaching you history. So, look, parents decided, look, I don't want my kid to be poisoned with this stuff. White kids, well, I don't want my kid feeling bad about themselves. Brown parents were thinking, listen, I want my kids to be happy and assimilate and become successful in America. They're not going to benefit from this racial indoctrination. And even black parents were like, what's this all about? What are we getting out of this? I mean, what is the message of CRT? You know, kiss every black behind in sight. Is that really our agenda? And the underlying implication is that black kids are inferior. Black kids can't do it. Black kids need to be treated with kid gloves. Black kids basically need to be sort of put on a pedestal, almost a kind of Special Olympics, because they can't compete with other students. So this is the poison that the left is pushing everywhere. It's delightful to see that the American people, the people of Virginia, the people in a moderate state, basically decided, you know what? We need to send these people a message. We need to teach them a lesson. When did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? What's playing out right now at big tech companies and social media sites sets a dangerous precedent. Look, it doesn't matter what your politics are, who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. And sadly, the big tech monopoly has instead opted for silencing tactics and censorship. Now, to fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Now, you ever wonder how these free-to-access tech giants make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, your video history, and everything you click on, by building a profile on you and then selling off your sensitive data. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It just takes one click to protect all your devices. And this is why ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET. Let's stop allowing big tech to revoke our rights to free speech. Why not revoke their right to your data instead? Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Dinesh. That's expressvpn.com/Dinesh. You'll get 3 extra months free with my exclusive link. Once again, go to expressvpn.com/Dinesh. So what is the left's take from the events of last night, from the Virginia election? Well, here is a guy named Wajahat Ali. This is a former guy at Al Jazeera. He speaks sort of for the left. He goes, whiteness remains undefeated. And then a little further down, whiteness wins again. Now, he's not alone. This is a theme on the left. This is some sort of a triumph for whiteness. Now, let's think about this for a second. Number one, in Virginia, there was, and this is, by the way, something that is really being ignored or downplayed. MSNBC, it took them, you know, almost the whole evening before they even mentioned this. And even when they did, they didn't mention the individual's name. We're talking here about a woman named Winsome Sears, a black woman, elected as lieutenant governor of Virginia. She ran along with Youngkin. And she's the first, well, she's the first Republican, but she's also the first black woman elected as lieutenant governor statewide.
In case you haven't noticed, I am black and I have been black all my life.
So this is, you would think, be an important first, something to be noted. But no, it's an embarrassment. Why? Because it undercuts this kind of whiteness thesis. Here's something else that undercuts it. HD 75 is a majority black district in Virginia. District went for Biden just last year, and Youngkin flipped it. So Youngkin won a predominantly black district in Virginia. Again, not something that they are stressing at the New York Times or the Washington Post. Why? Because, again, it undercuts the left's narrative. And then, of course, if you look at critical race theory, you begin to see that this is being driven not by white guys, the two top people in critical race theory in Virginia. Well, yesterday I was on the Ingram angle, and just before me was Asra Nomani. So this woman is brown-skinned. She's Asian Indian. She's Muslim. She calls herself a feminist. She voted for Biden. She is the face of the anti-CRT movement, which she described as just nonsense. Her sidekick is this Asian American guy who's fighting also for the same cause. So once again, how do you explain this? Here's Gad Saad, by the way, the political scientist whom I had on this podcast a few weeks ago. He goes, "Dear Joy Reid, dear Ibram Kendi, can you explain to me how the victory of Winsome Sears," this is the black lieutenant governor, "is a manifestation of white supremacy?" And then I replied sarcastically, I go, "Multiracial whiteness." And then I say, this is the left's new concept. So this is the left, like, breaking new intellectual ground. And then I explain what this concept means. I go, let me explain. And now, quote, this is me and on Twitter. I go, the white supremacists in Virginia were evidently joined by the black white supremacists. And they were joined by the brown white supremacists. And they were joined by the Asian white supremacists. And all of these people came together to put Youngkin over the top. Ooh. So what we see here is that there's an effort on the part of the left just blindly to blame racism. First of all, this is not just about race. And CRT, by the way, is not just about race. A lot of parents are responding to the trans phenomenon. They're responding to indoctrination across the board. I mean, basically, a lot of moms and dads are saying, listen, I'd rather my kid learn something about, you know, spelling and math than basically learning about, transgender hormone treatments. This is what the fight is really all about. And the left says, well, you know, we're not really teaching CRT. Well, you're not really teaching the theory, maybe, of CRT. This would be like a little, kids Bible study saying, you know, we don't really teach systematic Christian theology. True, we don't do that. But what do? You have crayon books that tell stories about Jesus. So you do tell, you do teach it, you just teach it in a manner that is aimed at kids. Similarly here, you're not teaching critical race theory, but you have your cartoon books and your little playbooks, and basically white is evil and black is great. And so what you're producing the same racial division at the ages of 3 and 5 and 7 and 10. And then when you're caught doing it, rather than defend it or explain why you're doing it, you go, well, we're not really doing this, because you realize these are based on 100-page articles that are merely discussed in the law school. So I think the rank dishonesty combined with the brazen aggression of these movements has produced a pushback, a massive pushback that goes beyond the activist right, is now penetrating. I think we're winning over independents. We're winning over the center. And I think what this means is that, yes, this multiracial coalition represents the future of the GOP that is going to come together now to crush the left. Who likes aches and pains? Nobody. But aches and pains come to us all eventually, whether from the normal wear and tear of time or from injury. But now there's a 100% drug-free solution. It's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. Now, the vast, vast majority of people who try Relief Factor, they order more and more. Why? Because it works for them. Now, Debbie's been suffering from frozen shoulder for a couple of years now, so she said, let me give it a try. She found it works amazingly well. The pain went away. And she also knows, Debbie does, if she doesn't take it regularly, the pain will come right back. So she's made a vow never to be without Relief Factor again, because being able to lift her arm and exercise, this is super important to her. Relief Factor is a tool she needs, and she's glad she's got it. Now, you too can benefit. Try it for yourself. You'll see. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more about this offer. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. Debbie and I were watching the results last night, and with anticipation and delight and a little bit of disbelief. And of course, part of the enjoyment is flipping over to CNN, flipping over to MSNBC, where you can basically see people having a heart attack. Now, here's Van Jones, again, trying to explain what's going on, and it's more than a little amusing. Listen.
When this election is over in Virginia, we will know. Have we seen the emergence of the Delta variant of Trumpism? The Delta variant of Trumpism. In other words, Youngkin, same disease, but spreads a lot faster and can get a lot more places.
The Delta variant, honey.
Who's politicizing COVID? Okay. Just saying, Van Jones, I was kind of with you on COVID, but got to stop politicizing it.
But I mean, that aside, this notion, I mean, it's almost amusing that somehow you've got Trump. He's original COVID.
Yeah.
And then the virus has apparently come in a new guise. The guise is Youngkin. So Jones is admitting that this is sort of all about Trump. And what he seems to be saying is that even Blue Virginia has now repented of its support of Biden and has pivoted right to Trump. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way he says it, it's like it's almost like a virus that kind of has its own life. And so it's taken on a new life of its own. And it's like going rampant in this Virginia. I don't really that was a really dumb analogy, first of all. But second of all, I think they're just all shocked at what happened. And I think that their tactics, and you know how evil their tactics are, and I've witnessed this since the Obama years, may not have worked this time around.
Well, let's pause. Yeah. So during the Obama years, you actually witnessed all kinds of shenanigans going on because you were a bilingual.
Yeah.
What, a vote observer?
Yeah. Well, so I've served in many capacities when it comes to voting. I've been a voter clerk. So that means that I'm the one that takes the ID. I'm the one that puts it in the system, all of that, check IDs. I've also been a poll watcher, and I was a bilingual poll watcher. The second Obama election, the first one, I was just a poll worker, but the second one, I was an observer simply because of the fact that I saw a lot of shenanigans.
Well, you saw election judges basically telling people how to vote.
I did.
They were doing it in Spanish.
In Spanish, and they thought I didn't know Spanish. And hello, not so fast. But so they definitely do shenanigans. I don't care what they
say. Now, there was a moment yesterday where Fairfax County stopped counting, stopped releasing data. In fact, they were supposed to release by 8 p.m. And all of us were like, and I saw this all over social media, here we go again. This is going to be a redux, a replay.
Tomorrow morning, we'll wake up and we'll know who won, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, set aside that, there are some tactics that they use that are perfectly legal to use, but they're very cunning. And many of them have a very Chavez-esque
kind of Chavista odor
on them because in the Venezuelan elections, the Chavistas would go to these poor neighborhoods and pick up people by the busload and bring them to polling locations so that they could vote, obviously telling them who to vote for and promising them all sorts of goods and that kind of thing. But that was very reminiscent of the Obama years when I was poll watching, because I would see all of these buses coming in and I exactly who these people were going to vote for.
Now, while it's illegal to give people things in exchange for their vote, there is no reason in principle, is there, that we can do, by and large, with evangelical churches, the same thing that the left does with the left-wing churches, particularly the Black Church. They have souls to the polls. Why can't we have souls to the polls?
Well, not only do we not have it, but pastors are very, like, they don't like to actually have any kind of voting, anything at their church. When I was doing all of the poll watching and judging and all of that, I asked many pastors if we could put tables outside in the foyer so that we could register people to vote after church. And many of them turned me down and they said no, that they couldn't do that. Now, how dumb is that? I mean, seriously, people, you know, that could have, because you know who these people are going to vote for, right? You know which way they lean. So the Democrats do this all the time. We have to learn these tactics from them. We just have to.
Now, let's talk for a moment about the implications, because I think two of the winners of what happened last night, oddly enough, are Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Why? Because in a sense, their America, their view of America has been ratified in a blue state. So all these progressives who go, oh, those guys are, they're running athwart the Democratic Party. These guys now have an argument to go back to Biden and say, listen, this nonsense about a $3.5 trillion bill, you may as well forget about that. In fact, if you push forward with that, you're endangering Democrats in swing districts across the country, in Michigan, in Colorado, in Arizona, and many other places, not to mention you're gravely endangering us. So we're not doing it. Wouldn't Biden at this point be better? I don't think he will. Just to fold up that tent and just try to move on with dignity. Again, I don't see him doing it.
No, I don't see him doing it either, mainly because he is a bit of a puppet. And I think that the people that are pulling the strings are not about to do it. So I don't see Biden coming anywhere near the middle like at all. But I do think that this was a referendum on not just CRT, but socialism in general. I think that Americans, hopefully, perhaps, have woken up to this woke ideology, and Democrats, forget about it.
I mean, I think one thing we can feel good about and take some credit for, I mean, there are lots of people who deserve credit here. I think with the CRT debate, Chris Rufo, I mentioned Asra and Omani. I think part of what we've tried to do in a series of movies is expose the bigotry and racism that comes from the Democratic Party. And so in a way, when people are surprised, they look at CRT. And basically, what is CRT? You could take white supremacy, the literature of white supremacy, just cross out the word white and write the word black, and you'd have CRT. It would do it, right? So CRT, critical race theory, is a mirror image of white supremacy. And it's when you go, wait a minute, it's how is it possible that we got from here to there? It's the same party doing it.
It's the exact same party doing it. And what's really amazing is, you know, in your last segment, when you talked about the lieutenant governor being black, they don't like that because that completely ruins their narrative, completely. And anything that ruins their narrative is kind of embarrassing.
I mean, in the old days, going back to Reagan, you know, you go to a conservative event, a Republican event, and you might see a handful of African-Americans, generally, you know, virtually no Hispanics. I don't remember, particularly not on the East Coast. But that's all changed. I mean, now in the sort of MAGA Republican Party, it's very common not just to see blacks, but blacks from across the socioeconomic spectrum. So this is a fact that the left is going to have to contend with. And they have to contend with the fact that they're hemorrhaging Hispanic support in southern Texas.
Right.
All of
right.
this is very bad yeah, for them. And I don't think yeah. the concept of multiracial whiteness is going to do it. Do you?
Absolutely not. They're going to have to think of something else. I mean, some other racket, but they're going to come up with one. Just wait.
I'm sure of it. After taking Balance of Nature, Debbie and I have noticed a big increase in energy. And for Debbie, irregularity was also a problem. It was solved with the fiber and spice. Now, we love taking Balance of Nature because we can't possibly eat the correct servings of fruits and veggies every day. So for us, this makes total sense. In fact, our technical director, Brian, got curious about Balance of Nature, so we had him try it. He's here. And he says it gave him a renewed burst of energy. I'm going to have Brian just pop his head in. Brian, am I telling the truth?
Absolutely. I felt a lot healthier. It gave me a little more energy and it helped me just be a lot more active, give a more spark in my day. So it's very good. Thanks a lot.
It totally works. Listen, we take 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies all in 6 small capsules. By the way, they're no trouble swallowing, always fresh, nothing artificial. They smell great. So invest in your health, invest in your life. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers get an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Call 800-246-8751, 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code America. I've been talking a fair bit about critical race theory today. And my amusement is even heightened by the fact that I see Colin Kaepernick. Yes, that Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL player who's now apparently in a Netflix series. The Netflix series is called Colin in Black and White. It's telling the story of Kaepernick's kind of coming of age. And in the series, apparently Kaepernick likens the NFL draft, the National Football League draft, to slavery. Yes, you're not going to believe it. Listen.
Before they put you on the field, teams poke, prod, and examine you, searching for any defect that might affect your performance. No boundary respected. No dignity left intact.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose there's a superficial similarity. But, you know, here's a slave auction circa 1820, and potential buyers are poking and examining the physique of the slaves to make sure they don't have disabilities. They're going to make good workers. Okay, I think I'll take that one. And Kaepernick is saying that's the way the NFL draft is. You've got all these people lined up, in come the owners and the coaches, and they go, yeah, let's poke this guy. Let's make sure that guy's got the right physique. I think I'll go with that one. So, yeah, the similarity, you know, I think ends there, doesn't it? Because, number one, NFL players are paid millions of dollars. Slaves, as I recall, were not. In fact, to be honest, slaves were paid nothing. They worked for free. And they also worked under compulsion. They were made to work. They were captives. Now, I don't think it's fair to call an NFL player a captive, do you? First of all, the NFL players all really want to be, and since they're really young, I think I want to be an NFL player. I don't think there's an equivalent there, right? You see a guy going, you know, I think when I grow up, I want to be a slave. No. And look at Kaepernick himself. When he was cut from the NFL, he shows up for practice. Let me try it for this team. Let me try it for that team. I don't think there were too many slaves who tried out for slavery, do you? So the rank absurdity of this analogy gives you an idea of how far we've come, how much America, or in this case, the America of the left, has lost its mind on the issue of race. This guy, Kaepernick, is considered kind of an apostle, a moral leader, an exemplar of a certain ideology. And the rank stupidity, the rank injustice, the kind of foolishness, false equivalences being established here, this latest analogy is simply symptomatic of this broader disease. Here's some pretty monumental news. It was recently announced that Social Security benefits are going to increase by 5.9% in January. That's the highest increase in 40 years. Now, what is this? This is the government admitting that inflation is out of control. And yet, the left is still pushing through trillions more in spending. So what are you doing to protect your savings from inflation? Well, I protect mine with gold and silver from Birch Gold Group. And Birch Gold can help you convert an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by precious metals. And here's an added incentive to do it now. When you text Dinesh to 484848 and purchase precious metals with Birch Gold by December 23rd, you're going to get free silver for every $5,000 that you invest. Birch Gold, by the way, has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, five-star reviews. So go ahead, text Dinesh to 484848 and get free silver for every $5,000 you invest. The offer ends December 23rd. Once again, text Dinesh to 484848 and protect your savings today. Hey guys, I'm really happy to invite to the podcast Emerald Robinson. She's the White House correspondent of Newsmax TV. She used to work for the One America News. And she's also been writing extensively about the sort of, well, let's just call it the shenanigans on the right. A very important topic, a topic that hasn't been very well covered among conservatives and conservative publications and even on this podcast. Hey, Emerald, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. Let me start by asking you about, you know, this great news coming out of Virginia, this big win by Glenn Youngkin. Now, Youngkin, it seems, on the one hand, did, you know, in no way distance himself from the Trump agenda. They kept accusing him of being a Trumpster. And he just seemed to kind of smile as if like, oh, so. But on the other hand, his style was sort of softer. It was more the kind of warm sweater. It was kind of it would look like he was also going after suburban voters and maybe some Biden voters who would find Trump a little radioactive, but who nevertheless were going to be okay with Youngkin. Give me your sort of reaction to an assessment of this Youngkin strategy and whether you think it's a good one for the kind of MAGA movement going forward.
Well, it was a Virginia-specific strategy because Northern Virginia has really driven elections in the state for a long time now, and Northern Virginia is blue. So Glenn Youngkin did have to do that. The cardigan gets noted a lot, but he had to appeal to those suburban voters who didn't like mean tweets and didn't like the tone rhetoric that Donald Trump used. He also focused, which was really important and was key to his win, he focused on the main issues that Virginians were concerned about. And it wasn't just conservative Virginians. It was also liberal soccer moms. That being largely education, critical race theory, for a lot of them, it was mask mandates, but it really boiled down to rights of parents and their parental rights and how much say they had in their children's education and health. And that did very well for him. He also focused in on the economy. He talked about getting rid of the grocery tax. He talked about suspending that recent gas tax. And that's something that resonated with particularly swing voters, and it did work for him because he did hold the Republican base. He held those Trump voters. And what we saw early yesterday in the exit polls, but is that he was also getting those swing voters here in, you know, battleground areas of Northern Virginia, and even pulling some Democrat voters who are just not happy with the state of things in Virginia. Now, will that work largely for the MAGA movement and in some other states? Maybe not, but there are some areas in some states that could take lessons from the Youngkin campaign and how he read it. And I'll tell you, I was there last night. You know, I hadn't covered it on the ground every day, but I'm in tune. I'm a Virginia resident, I'm born and bred in Virginia. And so I talked to them a lot, and they really did run a good campaign. And he was very specific about the advice he took and what he wanted to do. And at first, some people were wary, some conservatives, but then as it went along, his strategy really proved to work.
I mean, it seems like McAuliffe was in a weird way a dream candidate in the sense that this guy, first of all, he looks a little bit creepy and scary. Number two, he says that parents really shouldn't have a voice in education. And then the day before the election, he says something like, well, you know, I'm going to try to reduce the number of white teachers in the public schools. I mean, talk about a tone-deaf statement.
Totally tone-deaf.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you say it's creepy. Look, when he came out and gave that address last night from his headquarters, I was surprised at how bad he looked. It looked like he got ready in a funeral home. He was pasty white, and then he had on very, like, a lot of lipstick. So, he had a creepy look. But also, when he just said that the parents really don't have much say or shouldn't have much say in their children's education, and talking to voters as they were leaving yesterday, that was a huge issue for them. I think somewhere around 80% thought that the parents should have a say, with 53% according to the NBC exit poll saying that parents should have a lot of say in their kids' education. So that's where that may have been the biggest gaffe for McAuliffe, but he ran a really bad campaign. It's what sometimes they tend to do, but Democrats, they feel so comfortable with the system that works for them. And in a blue area, I don't think early on, and for most of it, McAuliffe didn't think he had anything to worry about. And he ran a campaign like that.
Emeril, let's take a little pause. I actually brought you on to talk about what's wrong with the right. And when we come back, let's dive into that. We're probably just going to get our foot in the water. But there's a problem here, and you're going to help us dissect it. So we'll be right back with Emeril Robinson. Hey, Christmas is coming right around the corner, and you know what that means. Well, it's great to stock up on presents for everybody. Why not be an early shopper this year? And here is an easy present. Everybody needs towels, but you got to get the right towels. Ordinary towels do not seem to dry you very well anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the store, but you take them home and they don't absorb. Why not? Because the ordinary towel companies typically import the product and then they add softeners to make the towels feel good, but they don't dry you very well. Now, Mike Lindell has solved this problem. I can testify. Our home is full of the MyPillow towels. Mike created the best towel company right here in the USA. MyPillow has proprietary technology to create towels that don't just feel soft, but actually absorb and leave you feeling fresh and dry. MyPillow towels come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. And for a limited time, Mike is offering a ridiculously good deal on the 6-piece towel set, which includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths, all made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, but now $39.99. Call 800-876-0227 or go to MyPillow.com to get the discount. You got to use promo code Dinesh. I'm back with Emeril Robinson, the White House correspondent for Newsmax. Now, Emeril, you've been covering a topic that's a little bit sensitive. It's a little bit of a taboo, but it's a topic that, quite honestly, is very well known to me. It's the, let's call it the institutional conservative movement. We're talking here about the think tanks, places like the Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Hoover Institution. Mm-hmm. I've actually been a fellow at all three. We're talking about the conservative magazines like the National Review, the first magazine actually I wrote for right out of college.
Right.
The now defunct Weekly Standard, the kind of never Trump apparatus, which at least originated on the right. And I think part of what you're saying, the message I get, is that there is a deep rot in institutional conservatism that the conservative activists and donors don't necessarily know about. Give a little bit of an overview of where exactly this rot is, because I want to get to, obviously our end goal is to fix it, to come out stronger, but let's start by identifying the problem.
Sure. Well, probably the main problem with conservatism, Inc., is that it really only cares about the free market. It's not a movement for the people. It's a movement for corporations. So they don't care if the free market provides porn, abortion, drugs. If people want them and there's a demand, then, you know, that's what they care about. So the people who only care about the free market become, quote unquote, libertarians, and libertarians really only care about low taxes. And on our network, Newsmax, not too long ago, there was a former Trump appointee, a Trump administration advisor. His name was Christian Whitten. And I thought he summed it up really well. He said, there's a problem with conservatism where there are a lot of people who don't want to fight cultural issues, like the Heritage Foundation you just mentioned. They say they don't do cultural issues. But the problem is, Dinesh, is that is where the fight is today. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of these elections, like the Virginia election last night. So if you look at the Supreme Court and the rulings we just got from Justices Amy Coney Barrett and from Kavanaugh, even this conservative, supposed conservative court is letting down true conservatism and what conservative Americans were promised. Those two justices are already looking weak. And the Federalist Society that you know, put their names forward is looking like a joke. I mean, Barrett basically looks like a liberal soccer mom who's slightly to the right of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And here's what has happened. The whole conservative movement has essentially lost its way. And that's just half of those people. The other half basically got bought out by the left. So that's what happened when we're talking about National Review. That's what we're talking about when we talk about Jonah Goldberg. He used to be with the National Review and got let go and then started the Dispatch and the Bulwark, which pretend to be conservative outlets, but take money from big tech, from Facebook and from Google. So they're not concerned about big tech censorship that a lot of conservatives, regular Americans, are experiencing, because they're more concerned about getting the money from these big tech companies. And that's what I, even though I cover the White House, I started talking to insiders and sources. And that's essentially what I broke back in 2018 about the Weekly Standard and about National Review. And the Weekly Standard has, you know, as you know, now become defunct and folded.
I mean, you're making an interesting point here, which is that on the one hand, these groups say we're not going to focus on cultural issues. We're libertarians. Right. We care about libertarian issues. But even within libertarianism, it isn't just about taxes. It's also about basic civil liberties. And as far as I can see, none of these organizations have been front and center protecting churches and religious liberty, protecting free speech, the right to assembly. All those rights have been grossly violated, particularly now under COVID. And it seems like this institutional conservatism, if we can call it that, has been at best on the sidelines.
They have. And again, number one, a lot of it, like I said, comes down to that they just don't care about the cultural issues. They care more about taxes and corporations. But secondly, that they are paid to not care and to look the other way. So like in 2018, there were rumors going around D.C. I was told by several solid sources that there was an audio tape of Google executives who have been recorded telling their colleagues, their fellow employees, that Google generously donated to conservative think tanks, you know, big groups that we thought of as on the forefront of the conservative movement at the time, AEI, CEI, the Cato Institute, CPAC, the Weekly Standard, the National Review. And essentially, this executive was saying, we've paid them to help water down legislation that would hold big tech accountable for their censorship and their policing of content. But what was crazy, Dinesh, is I kept hearing this. I wasn't given the story to run with. And I waited because it was given to the Wall Street Journal. And months went by, and the Wall Street Journal barely did a piece finally that really buried the story. It almost provided cover for these groups. And so I did finally tweet about it, that these Never Trump magazines and think tanks took money to suppress stories about the bias of conservatives and Trump supporters. That really unleashed people like Jonah Goldberg, who said that did not happen. But then he went and asked the National Review, and he had to backtrack that and admit that they had taken money. He said that they had supported their dinners. They gave him money, you know, for their dinners, and that's how they got money. But he was saying, oh, but that's not really taking money. So then they started admitting it. We started seeing more. And now they still work with big tech, but they're more blatant about it because they actually do full page ads. But that's a problem, because if these are the conservative beacons, the conservative, intellectual magazines, and they don't have the interest of conservative thought and free speech, as what they're writing about or advocating for, then what are they conserving? I have yet to see what they've really managed to conserve in decades, except for their invites to coveted parties here in Washington, D.C., and their invitations to come on MSNBC.
Well, you know, Emerald, I think what struck me is that over the years, these organizations like Hoover and AEI and Heritage have really lost influence. I mean, they're not influencing legislation. Yeah. They're not influencing the culture. But one thing that they have mastered is the art of cultivating a donor. I remember I was at a conference years ago with very eminent people, Henry Kissinger and so on. And I noticed that these speakers, like Kissinger, weren't asked to speak. In fact, it was the donors who were offering comments to these guys. And so I went up to the, at that time, head of AEI, and I said, isn't it strange? We're going to a conference, but instead of asking these luminaries to talk, you have the donors talking. And he goes, that's because the whole event is for the donors. People don't want to go home and tell their friends, Henry Kissinger told me. They want to tell their friends, I told Henry Kissinger. So then I realized how clever these organizations have become in massaging the vanity of people and sort of getting money out of their wallets. But my point is, I wouldn't mind all that if I felt that they were using the money effectively. But the point is, we can just see what is it that these organizations have done lately to advance the cause. I think the answer is a whopping nothing.
Nothing. And just as you said, it's for the donors, because the Weekly Standard, the National Review, lost their readership. That's really one reason the owners of the Weekly Standard pulled the plug. They just didn't have an audience. There was no audience for anti-American, America First commentary. And so when I heard, I got a call from a source who was helping to do the downsizing to help close up shop. And they alerted me that this was going to happen. I happened to be in Brussels with Secretary Pompeo at the time, and I confirmed it with several other sources on the Weekly Standard and put that out there. And Stephen Hayes, who had touted himself as such an influential conservative, he was always on Bret Baier's show until I wrote the Collapse of the Never Trump Conservatives article. And then there was a washout of Bret Baier's panel. In fact, Bret Baier's, one of his personal assistants, called me and screaming at me saying, you don't know what you've done. Look what you've done. And just a few days later, it was announced that Stephen Hayes would be leaving on a 1-year sabbatical to Spain. And some of the other Never Trumpers weren't back on the panel for some time. But they came in and closed up shop. Clarity Media called me. I thought this was crazy. I couldn't believe it at the time. Called me and asked what I thought about their personnel, who they should keep, who they should move over to the Examiner. And what they ended up doing was closing up the entire shop.
I mean, this is a huge topic, Emerald. We're just going to touch upon it today. I mean, you point out in one of your articles that in 10 years, from 2009 to 2019, the Heritage Foundation alone raised nearly $1 billion. So demanding accountability for this money and making sure that this is not money, that these precious resources aren't being like put down a black hole on the right. This is something we're going to have to cover some more.
Yeah. And I would just like to say, too, when we talk about the money going from Google to outlets like the National Review, they say, well, it had no bearing on our coverage. You know, we still did articles, but that's not true. In fact, I talked to people who regularly wrote, specifically one person who regularly wrote for the National Review, and the National Review killed every article this person put forth on big tech censorship. So
very
that's
interesting.
What this money is doing.
Emerald, thanks for coming on. I'll have to have you back some other time to delve into depth. There's just a lot of granular detail here, but I want to just let my listeners know that this is not a topic I intend to drop. I realize it's sort of is a little bit of a minefield, but we have to demand this kind of accountability because we want a lean, mean right going forward. Thanks, Emerald Robinson, for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's so good to be on with you.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.